up in here. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the
Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word,
God's
is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible,
I
can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the
Word of God.
And God's Word, is the revelation,
of
His will,
for my life.
Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. I meant to give Martha a chance to say a little bit something since she's returned to us. Y'all mind if I just give her that moment?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Come
on. Hallelujah. Praise
God. I tell you, y'all can blame it on me coming back at 4:30 in the morning. I'm just going to keep blaming it. All my mistakes today, I'm blaming it on that.
Good afternoon, church.
Good afternoon, sister.
I have a hair cold, but I just want to say thank you to all of you for keeping me in your prayers while I was away. I miss all of you, and I appreciate you guys for praying for me every day.
Amen.
It was strange for me after 30 years to go back home. It was sad, you know, to see my family, and then leaving them to come was sad. But I'm happy to be back home, and I say thank you for everything.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I tell you, I'm glad to see her back. I'm telling you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 8. We are going to continue in our series of teaching, Love the Law of the Kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Children, we should, hopefully we'll get the right light bulb this time, this week, and we'll have, y'all can resume children's ministry next week. I want to personally thank my daughter, that very beautiful young lady in the back, Sister Anita, for how much she has sacrificed and taught the children. Praise God.
Amen.
Give God a hand, praise for her.
Amen.
Don't she look like a movie star?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I tell Tommy he's a blessed man.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to James chapter 2. Let's read verses 8 and 9. This is our foundation text. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So the royal law of the kingdom is the law of love. Praise God.
Amen.
And it's the law of treating people right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why James said, connects this to the respect or how you treat other people. The issue James was dealing with was church leaders allowing the rich people to have the best seats in the congregation while the poor folks all sat in the back. Praise God. Now, and James was like, you know, you don't treat somebody just because they got money and they give them to the church, give them more to the church, better than you treat somebody who's only given a few pennies to the church. Jesus said that the widow with two mites gave more than everybody else in it who was given a big bank. Praise God.
Amen.
But the thing is that the royal law of the kingdom is the law of agape, unconditional, others-focused love. Praise God.
Amen.
The law of the kingdom is not self-focused. It doesn't focus so much on yourself, on your needs, and on your family. Yesterday, we were in Philadelphia, as you know, I was given the opportunity to preach at Matu's wedding. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, they asked me to give the sermon before the the vows were taken. And one of the things I share with the couples is some of the things I always tell y'all. The fact that you cannot have a marriage based on physical attraction alone. Hey, amen.
Amen.
You can't have a, and you know, some of y'all some beautiful ladies in here, but you know, all of us are going to get old one day, praise God.
Amen.
You know, everybody can't be 53 and look as good as I do.
Mm.
I'm just kidding. Praise God. I mean, it's true, but I'm just kidding about it. but seriously, though, all of us get old someday. All of us don't have the same physical appearance and the same stamina and all that stuff that we used to have. Now, we take better care of ourselves. We can do a lot better when we get older than some of us do right now. But what I'm basically saying is that nobody continues to look the same all the time as they age. And so if you're marrying based on physical attraction, this is the reason why a lot of guys, they go through the midlife crisis, so-called, and then they want a younger lady, and then they start going around becoming sugar daddies. They get these younger women, and they're paying all this money and neglecting their wives. But see, if you love your wife, you love your husband, you don't have to, if you're a wife, you know, this day, you got the cougar mom. The lady, the older lady who likes to prey on younger boys. See, that's not love. Love for your spouse is unconditional. It doesn't matter how he or she looks after you've reached a certain age, you still continue to love one another. Because it goes beyond physical attraction and physical appearance. It goes into how much I can do for her. Not so much how much can she do for me. And that's the other thing a lot of people do. They get married because they say, he completes me, or she completes me. That's silly. Jesus is the one who needs to complete you, praise God.
Amen.
You don't marry so that some person can complete you, because guess what? That person is gonna sooner or later disappoint you in some kind of way, hallelujah. And if you're not ready, if you don't have unconditional love, you won't be ready for that. I mean, my wife and I, we've been married, and I'm proud to say, we've been married 32 years, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can clap on that one. I'll clap on it.
You made it.
Hallelujah. I expect to be with this woman until I die. Hallelujah. Or until she dies.
Amen. We don't know.
Whichever one of us go, or until the rapture comes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm hoping the rapture comes. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'm just kidding you. I'm not even once you come to know Jesus, you're not even afraid of death. Praise God.
Amen.
Man, but I got too much work to do. I can't leave y'all right now. Y'all need me. Amen. Y'all need y'all pastor right now. So I can't go nowhere right now. But the thing is that I'm going to be with her until I die. Not based on physical attraction, even though I still think my wife is physically attracted to me. But it's not based on that. It's based on how much I love her, glory to God. And I didn't even have that kind of love for her until Jesus came into my heart. When Jesus, see, before, it was all about, man, she is cute. That's why I want to stick around with her. But now, it's because Jesus is in my heart, I can deal with some of the things that about her that really, really annoys me. And she's got some things that annoy me.
Amen.
And guess what? I got some things that annoy her.
Amen.
And sometimes I intentionally do it.
Amen.
So I still need prayer. Pastor still needs to grow up a little bit. But this is like on the road trip the past 2 days. I begged Terry, I said, Terry, please stay with us. Don't stay down here. She drives me crazy. Terry always had to intervene on our behalf on the whole road trip between us when we start getting fussing with each other. But anyway, marriage and things of that nature just don't work. No kind of relationship works apart from agape, others-focused, God kind of love, praise God.
Amen.
Whether it's marriage, whether it's work relationship, whether it's church relationship, praise God.
Amen.
None of it works based on just regular phileo or eros type of love. It all has to be based on others-focused love. How many of y'all have been to some churches where they don't really act like church, what you would imagine church folks supposed to act like. How many of y'all been to some churches where they will fight you? They will fight just like you did in the world. I've been to a few of them. Man, I mean, I've seen preachers that almost want to come to blows with each other. I'm like, this is supposed to be Jesus kind of people? See, Jesus kind of people do not get into physical confrontations, glory to God. If we do something to offend each other, we talk about it in love, praise God. And we don't sit there and talk about how much you hurt me and how much you made me mad. The first thing I try to do is, honey, what did I do to offend you? What did I do to bring us to this point where we're angry with each other and why we're acting like this? When somebody is trying to be the peacemaker, Jesus said, blessed is the peacemaker, praise God. See, if we're not going to try to be peacemakers, then we're already moving away from the example that Jesus has set for us. So the whole thing is not based on whether you hurt me or I hurt you. It's based on unconditional love, praise God.
Amen.
It's based on how much I love you no matter what you've done. And see, God is the perfect example. Last week we talked about God is love. Say God is love.
God is love.
We looked at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and we went through a number of other scriptures showing you that God is love and that his love for you and me is completely others focused. Praise God.
Amen.
God thinks more about you than he does about himself. Can you believe that?
Amen.
God is more concerned about you than he is about himself. How do I know that? Because Jesus died on the cross for me. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus went through all that humiliation for me. Yes. And the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, while you and I were still ugly and unattractive in our ways, Jesus Christ died for us. Praise God.
Amen.
He didn't wait until we became good people. He didn't wait until we became the sweet, kind, wonderful people that we are today. And the reason why we're the sweet, kind, wonderful people that we are today, if we are, is because we have Jesus in our lives right now. Glory to God.
Amen.
Not because we made ourselves that way. But before, while we were still out there committing adultery, while we were still out there fornicating, while we were still out there smoking on the crack pipe, while we were still out there gangbanging, beating up people and shooting and doing all this type of stupid things we were doing, Jesus died for us. Praise God.
Amen.
He died for people that just weren't right in the head. I don't know about you, but I was not right in the head. Glory to God.
Amen.
I needed, if he was waiting for me to become a good person before he died for me, I would be on my way to hell right now. Praise God. I'm so glad that he didn't wait for me to become a nice person or a great person or whatever it is I needed to be. He died for me and he said, son, while you're the way you are, accept what I've done for you. Praise God.
Amen.
That's love. God's love is fully unconditional. It's fully others focused. It's fully concerned about others more than it is about itself. Hallelujah. And then we looked at a number of scriptures that showed us that we are to walk in the example of God's love. Let's look at one of them. We looked at a couple of them last week, but I want to look at another one. We did look at this one last week, but I want to show you something else that I saw in it as I was teaching yesterday at the funeral. Jesus, at the wedding. Listen, y'all. I got here at 4:30 in the morning. All mistakes I make today are going to be blamed on my early coming back here. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at that one very quickly. Because I'm trying to show you something. We talked about, one of the things we talked about in this series, and this is what I want to show you again today, is that when you walk in love, that will solve the sin issue right there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, when I walk in love, I'm going to be less prone to commit sin. I'm going to be less prone to steal from you. I'm going to be less prone to commit adultery or to fornicate because I'm going to see, not only what pleasure it brings to myself, but I'm going to see how it might hurt and affect somebody else. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now God says, or Paul says, God says through the Apostle Paul, you are to be a follower of God as a dear child. Praise God. And then it goes on to say, "And walk in love." Say, "Walk in love."
Walk in love.
"As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Praise God.
Amen.
It tells you right here, the way to follow God is to walk in love. And how do we walk in love? Exactly the way Jesus did it. Jesus did it by being self-sacrificial. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus put you before he put himself. Oh, glory
Amen.
To God. He was concerned more about your need than he was about his own. Jesus took a beating on his back. He took people pulling off his beard, yanking that beard out. Kids is a nasty thing. He took people slapping him, spitting on him, and doing all kinds of things to him because he cared about you. Glory to God. He didn't have to do it, but he did it for you. Now look at verse 3. It says, "But fornication and all cleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, neither foolish talking, nor jesting." In other words, doing something nasty and then talking about, "Huh, that was just a joke. Can't you take a joke?" No. No foolish jesting, praise God.
Amen.
"Which are not convenient, but for giving of thanks." Glory to God.
Amen.
See, all of that is connected to walking in love. When I'm walking in love, then I won't fornicate, praise God. When I'm walking in love, then I won't covet something that you have and belongs to you. Praise Jesus. If I'm walking in love, then I won't make filthy, dirty jokes and offend you. Praise God. If I'm walking in love, I won't play dirty, practical jokes on you. Praise God. I mean, there's a time for joking around. We all like to joke, and we all should be fooling around and playing with one another. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen.
Amen.
We need to laugh and play and talk and do things like that. We can't be all stuck up in what we call holy, where we never ever smile or laugh or anything like that. I'm a fun-loving guy. I'm telling you, I'm a fun-loving pastor. Glory to God. I like to enjoy life. Hallelujah. I'm not no stuck-up pastor, but I do believe in holiness. Amen.
Amen.
You can have fun and still live holy. See, if you simply learn to walk in love, then you don't have to be legalistic about your holiness. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to measure the line of your dress or put on the right hat to cover your head or all that kind of stuff. You can walk in love and then allow God to lead you in your dress. See, if I look, for example, if I was a woman, especially as attractive as some of you ladies are, I would be careful about how I dress, praise God. I mean, you go to some places, I ain't gonna lie, a lot of people ain't safe, so we understand that, but I mean, you see some of the ways people are dressed, how provocative, and then, we got to see some dancing last night, and the way, I don't even know how I can demonstrate it, but people, young ladies pushing themselves, and some of them that are supposed to be Christians, pushing themselves up to a guy from the back in a sexual manner. That's not love. Praise God. You don't want to tempt another man like that. If you love, then as a lady, conduct yourself properly. Amen. Men, the same thing. If I love you, if I respect you, then I won't be accepting you pushing up to me like that. Praise God.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with dancing and having a good time and stuff like that, but, this is not, you just got to have love, the love of God working through you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, love, you got to be, and we all did it. I did it before I knew Christ. But I learned after coming to Jesus Christ, I got to walk in love. I got to respect not only the young lady who I might find to be attractive, but I gotta respect my wife, who I could hurt if I did anything with the other young lady. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, you gotta be very careful about what you do. See, the difference is are you if you are, your love or your lack of love determines who your God is. Your love or your lack of love determines who you are following. Jesus said that the way to follow me is to walk in love. Be ye followers of God as dear children, walk in love. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're walking in love, you are following God. If you're not walking in love, then you guess who you're following? Say that again. Somebody say it louder. I heard the right answer.
The
who?
The devil.
That's right. That's exactly who you're following if you are not walking in love. If you got anger in your heart, malice in your heart, you want to get revenge on people, you want to hurt people because of what they did to you, then you are not following God. You are following the devil. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. See, as dear children, Paul said, we are to walk in love. If you are not walking in love, then you are not. I don't care. You can come up to me and say, Pastor Troy, I am born again. I'm sanctified. I'm fire baptized. I speak in tongues. I'm this. I'm that. But if you ain't walking in love, you're not a child of God. Hallelujah. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. Man, out of the mouth of babes, God has perfected plays. Maybe I need to keep the kids in here a little longer. Glory to God. If you are not walking in love, you are a child of the devil. Just that young man just said it right there. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, y'all, that's our foundational text for this church. Praise God.
Amen.
See, right here we see that Jesus has defeated the devil. He's destroyed all his works. You don't have to accept the works of the devil in your life. You don't have to accept sickness, disease, poverty. All these are the works of the devil. You do not have to accept them. You have authority over them. Glory to God. But that's not the message today. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You claim to be born again and you're sinning habitually. Now listen to me. Remember the Bible, the New Testament was written in the Greek, the Greek language, praise God. And it was later on translated into English. And they didn't always translate it completely the way they should. And many experts in the Greek language have said that this is talking about, it should be read this way actually. Whosoever is born of God does not continually commit sin or habitually sin. Amen.
Amen.
It's not talking about the mistakes that we make. Amen. It's not talking about if I get mad and maybe every once in a while let that curse word slip out of my mouth or something like that. It's only talking about if I'm constantly cursing, praise God. If I have to keep cursing you out all the time, then I'm talking, and I'm using a bunch of F words and S words and stuff like that, then I need to watch to see, am I truly born again? But if I slip every once in a while, the Bible says in James chapter 2, where we just came from, that we all stumble in word and in deed. Hallelujah. James chapter 3 actually says that. We all stumble in word and in deed, so we all make mistakes. Glory to God. But the thing is that if I habitually sin, if I'm living in sin, if all I ever do is sin without repentance, then I am not born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it goes on to say, for the seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, or he cannot constantly and habitually live in sin because he is born of God. Praise God. In other words, I can't sit there and live with another woman while I'm married to my wife. Because that's habitually sinning. Amen. Verse 10, it goes on to say, in this, look at this, there's a distinction now. John makes a distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he, listen y'all, neither he that loveth not his brother. Praise God. See, we sometimes look at sin as just not doing the right thing. And that's true. But why am I not doing the right thing? The reason why I'm not doing the right thing is because I am not walking in love. Amen.
Amen.
The reason why I want to steal from you is because I don't love you. I don't have the God kind of love in my heart. The reason why, as soon as you say the wrong thing to me, I want to kill you is because I don't have the love of God in my heart. And look at verse 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then he gives an example. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, he was of the devil, and slew or killed his brother, and therefore slew him because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not that my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Say, love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abides in death. Death is the kingdom of Satan. Praise God.
Amen.
Death is the rule and reign of the devil. And if you are not walking in love, then you are abiding in death. Verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Glory to God.
Amen.
You can write down in your Bible, John chapter 17, verse 3, next to verse 15. John chapter 17, verse 3. If you want to understand fully what eternal life is connection and relationship to the Father through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
See, if you want to know eternal life, you got to know God. And see, when I'm connected to God, when God is my life, when he's my life source, then I am going to walk in love. Oh, glory to God. You're not even going to be able to help yourself but to walk in love once you really, truly get to know God. If you are walking in hatred, anger, bitterness, sinning, doing everything contrary to the teachings of God's word, it's because you don't understand love. Listen, you know, growing up, I had suffered from asthma. Part of the reason why I suffered from asthma because some of my uncles and aunts would smoke around me. And that cigarette smoke got into my lungs and it affected me. And so when you smoke around your kids, you may say you love your kids, but you really don't. Your sin is hurting your children. Hallelujah. See, we don't understand what our sin does to other people. We think that we're just gratifying ourselves. Well, you know, this is my own business. This is what I do. But our sin affects other people. When I sit there and watching a bad movie, and I let my kids sit there and watch it with me, and then it starts affecting their behavior, and then I sit there and wonder, why are you acting like that? It's because of what I did. Praise God. I'm the one who let them watch that junk. I'm the one who sat there and encouraged them. You know, you got so many parents now, I don't understand some of the young people. It's like a lot of, and I'm not talking about the young people here, I'm talking about a lot of the young people out there, all right? A lot of the young people just ain't got no common sense no more. I mean, they want to teach their girls to dress you dress provocatively, teach them how to dance provocatively, and then wonder why they get pregnant at 14, 15, and 16. Because of you. Praise God. If you really love, you really want walking in love, then you won't sin and teach others how to sin. And then get shocked at when they do sin. Or get shocked when something happens to them. What we do always affects other people. Praise God.
Amen.
So if I love you, I will be careful not to sin around you. How many of y'all will be affected if pastor sin? be affected in some way. You'll be shocked. I don't, you young people probably won't understand it, but you know, those of us who are older, remember back in the 80s when Jimmy Swagger fell. You know, I still respect Jimmy Swagger today, but he fell at one time. And it really had an impact on a lot of people. A lot of people actually turned away from God because he fell. See, if I go out and do certain things, although I don't have nowhere near the amount of people following me as Jimmy Swagger had, I could hurt some of y'all that really look up the pastor and think that I'm this great guy. Praise God. You know, I want you all to think highly of me. I don't want y'all to look at me like you would look at Jesus. I want Jesus to be your focus. Praise Jesus. Jesus, you should never look at me or any other man like you would look at Jesus. I'm pointing you to Jesus. However, I am also supposed to be your example of how to follow Jesus. And so I know that for some of you, I can get your eyes off of Jesus because I might mess up. And so this is why, one of the reasons why I try to live right, it's not just because I love God. I do love God. That's my number one reason. But my second reason, because I love you. And if I know if I don't live right, if I do wrong, and if I mess up, then I'm going to mess you up. Praise God. So that's why I try to do the right thing. I said I love God's people too much to go out and do something crazy. Like you, I get tempted to do crazy stuff just like you do. I just learned how to resist it. Praise Jesus. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you walk in love, you will fight against temptation. Because you still live in the flesh. And Satan tries to work through the flesh. But when you decide, I'm going to walk in love, then you will resist Satan's temptations and you will not walk in a satanic nature. How many of y'all are born again? How many of y'all want to be born again and walk in the love of God? Let's look at one more passage of scripture. We're going to get ready to go home. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. I want to show you something about the satanic nature. See, there's a difference between God and the devil. God is self-sacrificial. The devil is all for himself, and that's the way he tries to lead you. He wants it to be all about you. You know, I was telling me and Taco were laughing a couple of days ago. You know that song we sing sometimes? It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I told her, I said, there's a lot of people that sing that song in a different way. It's all about me. It's all about me, Jesus. That's the way some of us are. That's the way our attitude is. It's not about Jesus. It's about me sometimes. We need to get away from that. Let me show you, because that is the satanic nature. That is the way the devil operates. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look at verses 12 through 15. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, now listen to this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Notice all these I wills. There's about five I wills in there. Lucifer was self-focused, praise God. What brought the devil down, what made Lucifer into the devil, into a Satan, was getting away from others' focused love and becoming self-focused and having self-focused love. Lucifer cared only about his own desires, his own ambitions, and didn't care who it hurt. Praise God. Amen. He didn't care if he hurt God. He destroyed a third of the angels caused them to sin along with them, and now their eternal destiny is going to be forever and ever in a lake of fire, all because of him. And do you think he cares? No, because he's still trying to drag you and me into hell. Praise God. Lucifer is completely and totally self-focused, caring only for himself, his own needs, and his own desires. And he knows that if he can get you to do as he's doing, then he's going to put you down there with him. Praise God. See, the reason why self-focused people, sinners can't make it into heaven is because heaven is all about being others-focused. Praise Jesus. In heaven, everybody is trying to be a blessing to each other. That's why we need to train here on earth and learn how to be others focused here on earth. So when we get to heaven, we will know how to act as kingdom citizens, because love is the law of the kingdom there. Praise God.
Amen.
In hell, hate and self-love is the law of the kingdom down there. And that's why you sit there and you're going to be tormented forever and ever along with your self-love and your hatred of other people. So that is the nature of the devil. The nature of the devil is self-focused love. The nature of God is others-focused love. So the kingdom of death and darkness is a kingdom of selfishness, which culminates in hatred. Our lack of concern for anyone besides ourselves is a satanic in nature, and even more than anything else, it is inexcusable. Praise God. There is no excuse for being self-focused. See, this is something. See, God, man was created in the image of God. You ever notice that when there is a tragedy that happens, a lot of people begin to lose their self-focus and start sacrificing to help other people? You ever notice that? Within man, there is a nature for good. We go against the image of God when we become self-focused and begin hating other people that are created in God's image. So that's where the difference between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light is a kingdom of love and life. The kingdom of darkness is a kingdom of death, hatred, and destruction. The reason why our world is in the mess that it's in is because people are too self-focused. Do you know why the homosexual agenda is a sinful agenda? Because the homosexuals don't care who they destroy in order to promote their wicked lifestyle. They have destroyed bakers, Christian bakers. They have destroyed Christian churches in order to continue to promote their lifestyle. And they are willing to throw us Christians in jail over that. They don't care who they hurt. All they care about is their stuff being promoted. That's why it is satanic in nature. Any lifestyle or any government policy that has to persecute and destroy innocent individuals is something of Satan and not of God. See, God wants to give you the freedom, give you and I the freedom to choose whether we will accept what he has to offer. Satan, he don't want to give you that choice. You either accept it or I destroy you. Which one you want? God says, accept what I have, or I give you the freedom to follow whatever you want. Even if it does destroy you, I won't be the one destroying you. Satan says, do it the way I want you to do it, or I will destroy you. Praise God. See, there's a big difference. A very big difference. So, if you're going to understand the nature of the gospel, understand the nature of Christianity, understand the nature of your Christian walk, it can be summed up in one word: others-focused love. When you have others-focused love, you don't need legalism in the church. You don't need a bunch of rules. You don't need a bunch of do thou this and do thou that. If you have love, you'll live right, you'll walk right, and you'll act right. Praise God. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Did you learn anything?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I learned a little bit myself. So, bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to You're going to learn to walk in this love. This is how the church is going to grow. As we love one another. As people come in, they see the love, the atmosphere of love in this place. Then people will stay. They won't come in and then come pastor and say, oh, that was a great message, and we never see him again. We want an atmosphere of love in this place, praise God.
Amen.
We want to win sinners to Jesus Christ. We want the sinner to see that there's something outside of his world that is incomprehensible, which is the self-sacrificial love of God. Father, I pray for your people that they will come to know you more and more and begin to walk more and more in the self-sacrificing love that you left for us as an example, that you live in constantly yourself, because you are love. Father God, I pray for your people that they will not only grasp this, but they will have the strength to do it as you strengthen them. Father God, empower them by your Spirit, because we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, and all the other things that are commensurate with love. Bless your people, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, as we leave this place, but never from your presence. Is there anybody, before we go, anybody who needs prayer for anything? If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you want to commit your life to him, if you're here today and you want God to do that for you, I want you to lift up your hand. If you're here today and you just need prayer for anything else other than that, I want you to lift up your hand as well.